Would you please bow with me for a moment of prayer? Lord, open our eyes to see and ears to hear your message for our life this day. And open our very spirits to the resurrection spirit that is you, to the resurrection story that is you, to the resurrection reality that we can know even in our hearts this day. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
That was beautiful. It is a joy to have you here this day. And before I begin my message, let me just thank all those in our church who have participated this year in helping us celebrate what this story is about. I want to thank our 633 team who did a wonderful Easter message for us last night here in our new Ember Days band. I want to thank all those that participated in our sunrise service out of our youth group. But especially I want to thank our choir this year. You know, we had a record crowd here on Good Friday remembering what I think is the cornerstone of this weekend, which is not Easter Sunday, but is Good Friday. If new life can't speak to darkness and brokenness, we all might as well go home right now and forget it. But they brought us that message and it did a wonderful gift for us. So I wanted to make sure to thank them this day. This morning we come to remember a story. This morning we come to remember a story, a happening. But more than just that, we come to remember a reality for our lives. A reality of love. We come to hear a story that speaks to possibility and hope in our lives, to give us freedom to live in the fullness of love. As you heard in the last reading that Sue read to us this morning, we hear two stories. The first story is a story about freedom, freedom from fear and death, and about one who gave his life for others and how new life came out of that. But the second story, the story of bribery, the story of fear, is about death. It's about taking something that's a reality and spinning the story to suit a political purpose. Have you ever heard of that before? Spinning the story to suit a political purpose. I assume you have. The first is a wonderful story about a witness, about those who were crushed. Those who saw their friend, their redeemer, their person that was going to lead them into a new reality in their life, tortured and killed. And so they thought the movement had stopped. It was over. And yet 3 days later, they go back to give respects to the body. And the body is not there anymore because God would not let death win. God said life is going to win. The second story is about those leaders that play by different kinds of rules. The rules of anger, pain, torture, and betrayal. The rules of death. But we know Jesus, when he stepped into that reality of Jerusalem, that place where he wanted to lead people to love and to know God in new life, he played by those same rules, but he redefined those. Anger directed towards him could not provoke him. Pain that he suffered in his body could not intimidate him. Betrayal by friends and others around us could not stop him. Lies in court could not hold him back. Death itself did not stand a chance. And so 3 days later, life came roaring back. And he wanted people to know. But those around him who played by those rules of spinning could not afford that to happen. Either they wanted to keep their power or they figured it doesn't work this way. There's no way that we can have hope or love or possibility into the future. We can't have that. It doesn't work that way. That cannot be true. And so what we hear is they took some money out of the cash box. They bribed some people to tell a story. Let's make it believable. Let's spin the story. We cannot have people out there believing in freedom and love, how they can have new life in their hearts. We can't have that. That's not true. And they were proved to be wrong. So today we come with two stories. A story of love and possibility. Or the story that says, you know, you can't have that stuff. That's not true. There is no new life stuff. Life's too hard. It's too broken. But we maintain. And this week we have roared into this Easter holiday, saying love and new life can always be a possibility. Every one of us here has the power to live as free people under God. Every one of us here has the power to live in freedom from sin and brokenness that is our own. Every one of us here has the power in Jesus Christ not to be intimidated or broken by death of ourselves or a loved one. We can have that freedom and power. We can know that full story and that full life. And I hope that story gets your attention. That story is so important. For all of you to know in your hearts, not just to come here and to have to read the story about this person and that person, they went to the tomb and they rolled away. Not to come and just sing wonderful songs, tradition in terms of our family. Not to come and just hear some balding middle-aged pastor babble about stuff. Did you hear that last one? Who was that? It's not about that. I don't care if you remember any single word I say today. And that's a lot for a pastor to say. I don't care if you remember the names of the disciples. It doesn't matter to me. You know, in some ways, I don't care if you know the name Jesus. But if you know the reality of Jesus, that's what I want you to have. To know that story in your heart. Because there's stories out there that want to pull you away from life over and over again. And they are subtle and they are mean. And they play by different rules. But we want to play by the rules of life and love. For the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to put together, you know, what do I say on Easter Sunday? And every now and then, I know you don't believe this is true, but every now and then I'm sitting and working my computer, you know, looking at stories to tell or ideas about Easter. And sometimes I get bored. Did you know that? I'm sure you don't do that when you work. But as I was bored, I logged on to a popular web search thing, whatever they're called. I don't know these days. And just looking at some news things flashed up on the screen. And one of them said, how to make big money. And you'd figure a pastor wouldn't be interested in that, right? You are wrong. You know, I figure if that is true, I logged on to that. I figure if that is true, you know, I can hit it big. Maybe I can get an honest job 9 to 5 Monday and Friday, and I can give up this weekend work. I figured, though, you know, it's one of those scam things on the internet that, you know, says some scientists in some country have found this formula that will cure baldness, and I can invest in that. I know. But I logged on, and it was a serious website. How to make big money. How the big guys do it. Big gals do it. And they had a list of 9, maybe 11 things. It was an odd number. The first one was, you know, you need to get a government subsidy. And I'm searching my mind, still trying to figure out how I can get a government subsidy doing what I do. The second one was a marketing thing. You don't sell the steak, but you sell the what? There's my marketing people right there. You just found them. You don't sell the steak, you sell the sizzle. And there were some other things that were there that were interesting. But then I went down, whatever you call that. Scrolled down, and I got to number 9, and I read it, and I said, that can't be true. Nobody would put that on there. I kind of thought at the beginning it's kind of like a joke. Somebody put that on there, but all the others were fairly serious, you know, for high rollers, government subsidies, who can do that? You know, they were serious for high roller kind of people, but this other one was down at the bottom. I said, that can't be serious. So I cross-checked it with some other things on the net, where the actual article came from, you know, who really said it and what it was about. I checked it out, and it was true. Number 9 said, and hear the story. This is the Pharisee story. It said, if you want to make big money, feed the addict. It's a market that's out there. They're always going to buy. If you want to make big money, feed the addict. In my work and in my family, I know what addiction can do. And many of you do as well. It said, play on people's weaknesses. And what grieved my heart so much is I know that stuff's out there. We all know that stuff's out there. That people will do things just for a buck and hurt other people's. But this was whack on a major search engine on the internet. This wasn't hidden someplace. There were no apologies for this. There was no kind of things, well, you might not want to do this because it might hurt people. No. It was up front and in your face. It grieves my heart. that could be on there so boldly. As if to say, let's invest ourselves in things that destroy people's lives. We here tell a different story. The story of the open tomb says there's life and resurrection in love. The story of the soldiers, the bribe, the spin says there's no such thing like that. Take the money and run. Do what you can in this world. Forget about others. Play on people's weaknesses. That's what the world is about. Spin the story. And so often we are co-opted by that. That is the soldier's story. New life is not true. New life is not a possibility. So take what you can and run. My prayer is that there's something this week engendered a flame of love and grace in your hearts that might be able to grow, to speak to the issues of fear in our world, speak to the issues of cynicism in our world, and that we might know what faith in Jesus Christ can do for us and speak to those things that would destroy us as it affects us or as it asks us to live in ways in hurting others, which is evil. This week I was reading a story. A story about a young woman named Melba Beals. Does anybody know her name? Melba Beals was a high school student in 1957 in Little Rock, Arkansas. She was one of the first of 9 African-American students to integrate Central High School in Little Rock. Do any of you remember that encounter? I'm way too young for that. Her and 8 other African-American students met to go to the high school because they knew it would be difficult, but they did not know how difficult. Melba says when she went to school that day, she heard the noise. She heard the roar of the crowd, an angry mob, not just a crowd. And she said she wondered to herself, what is that? What in the world could that be? She had no clue what was going to happen to her. We know now it was aimed at her and those other students because of integration. Through escorts, they got her and those other students into the school. They went to the principal's office. They got their schedules. And Melba said they thought maybe they'd be together for some support. But the school itself broke them up. So they were isolated by themselves. I wonder about that. Melba said she stepped into the hall. And moments after stepping into the hall, another high school student stepped up to her and slapped her in her face. Moments later, she felt warm stuff on her cheeks as other students spit on her. As she wiped the warm, slimy saliva off. A guy took her to her first class. She went into high school, her first high school class. She sat down. As she sat down, the other students got up and moved away. And the teacher did not intervene. As she sat there, there was a young man in the class. They yelled angry things at her, and I'm sure we know what those things were. The teacher did not intervene. In her next class, gym, they went outside to play volleyball. And it didn't take her long to figure out this isn't the regular kind of volleyball because the students were taking the volleyball and flinging them at her, trying to hit her. And when they did, a number of students would cheer. She said that was the least of her worries at that point. Because the crowd, the mob that was around there, saw her outside by herself with the other class. And the crowd, even though the school was fenced in, many of the crowd climbed over the fence and came for her. And the teacher ushered her back inside. And many of us remember President Eisenhower then sending in troops to calm things down. What I found remarkable about this story is that when she wrote about it, when she reflected on it, she didn't talk about the grand social ideas or values we as a country need to do. She didn't say what got her through were those things. She said during those hard times, when her heart was breaking and she was squeezing back tears, thinking, why in the world am I doing this? She said she remembered what her grandma taught her. Melba, God loves you, child. No matter what. And God sees you as his precious idea. That's what got her through. God loves you, child, no matter what. God sees you as His precious idea. That is Easter, folks. God loves you, child, and God sees you as His precious idea. Jesus wouldn't die just for anybody, would He? He would die for the preciousness of life that is in each of you. And so I ask you today to take the story serious. We might have disagreements about how we see the story, the accounts of the story, our theological persuasions of the story. Don't get sucked into that kind of debate. But know, God loves you and you are God's precious idea. And that grace of God to whatever situation you have in your life, that grace of God that is free love, that God wants you to know you are accepted, is available to you if you want it, to know that you are God's precious idea. So I would invite you to know the grace of Jesus Christ. A writer a number of years ago shared the idea like this. That love and that acceptance of God comes in grace. And sometimes that grace isn't just like being pardoned from a governor or something. That grace is that love that descends on us and lets us know in amazing ways that we are accepted. And this gentleman writes that love, that acceptance, that grace strikes us sometimes when we are in great pain and restlessness. Love strikes us when we walk through the dark valley of death. Or the dark valley of meaningless and emptiness in our life. That love strikes us when we are separated from others, those we love. That love strikes us sometimes when we hurt others, those that we love. That grace strikes us sometimes in our indifference, our weakness, our hostility, our lack of direction. At that moment, it strikes us sometimes when we want that long perfection for our lives that never seems to appear. It strikes us when we have despair in our lives, destroys all our joy. And then, sometimes at a moment, a wave of light breaks into our darkness. And it's though a voice were saying, "You are accepted. You are accepted. You are accepted by that which is greater than you. Do not try to do anything. Perhaps later you will do much. Do not look for anything. Do not try to perform anything. Do not intend anything. But simply accept the fact that you are accepted." And if that happens to us, we experience grace. After that experience, we may not be better than before. We may not believe any more than before. But we are transformed. So I invite you today to know that you are God's precious idea. And accept the fact that you are accepted. And know the resurrection. Let us pray. Most loving God, we thank you for the many ways you touch our lives. We thank you for the new life you have given us. For the symbol of the egg of new life. The beauty that's on the outside. But the life that's on the inside. Lord, sometimes we bring this day brokenness in our life. Sometimes we bring discouragement into this place about the world around us. But Lord, give us hope. Help us know that we are your precious idea. And that you accept us for who we are, even when we do unacceptable things. You start with us in love and grace. So touch our hearts, lift us up. Give us your resurrection message for our life, that we might walk from this place as those who are healed. And made whole by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please turn to our final hymn and let us stand as we sing. Thank you. Following our service, we invite you to join us for some refreshments in our Wesley Hall. Please come for a moment of Easter celebration and Easter fellowship. Let us go forth this day knowing that He arose. Let us go forth this day that Christ is the victor, that you are God's precious idea. Let us go forth to love and serve our God and serve each other. Amen.